This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
IGN GameScoop.
Attention. Stationwide emergency is in effect. All citizens are ordered to evacuate. Move immediately to the nearest evac point. Attention. A stationwide emergency is in effect.
Can I swear?
Oh, yeah.
I may swear.
You must swear, actually. That's
fucking awesome.
Yeah, there we go.
Now rock it out.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special episode of GameScoop. This GameScoop is all Dead Space, all the time. As ever, I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me is my trusty sidekick, Greg Miller.
Hey, Damon.
And joining us is special guest Steve Papoutsis, executive producer at Visceral Games, developer of Dead Space and Dead Space 2. Welcome, Steve.
What up?
How's it going?
It's going fantastic.
Dead Space 2 is released. You let your little baby out into the wild yesterday, so congratulations.
Thank you.
We like the game a lot. We've both played it and beaten it. Greg's reviewed it.
Yep.
Give it a 9.0. Greg, what are we doing here? What's this
stop.
Podcast all
yeah,
about?
Yeah, we have to stop right now, because this is GameScoop Presents,
yeah.
The Dead Space 2 podcast.
Yeah.
So what this is, listener, right now is if you haven't beaten Dead Space 2, you need to stop listening to this podcast.
There's going to be lots of spoilers here.
You got to take it and just put it aside, and then once you beat it, that's when you want to listen to it.
We're going to spoiler town.
Totally.
That's all over
the whole show is spoiler town. Because see, that was my whole problem, is that I was lucky enough to review it, so I had it a month out. And so when I beat it, I sat there on the couch, had so much to say about this game, but I had no one to say it to. And so there was no one to bounce the theory off.
Let's be honest. You were tweeting it out there. You were kind of teasing
it up.
I was teasing it. You didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah. But I couldn't,
you did talk
I couldn't
about
say,
it.
What about the ending? What about
no,
this?
Of course
what
you
do you
couldn't.
Think here happened?
Of course
that,
couldn't.
That hurts. That
yeah,
hurts.
Because you're being professional.
Thought. Exactly.
And I tried to get information from you the entire time.
You did?
I just was like, hey, you played the game. Did you like it? Did you like it? Did you like it? And you said DC Universe Online.
I know. I had to be a jerk. It broke my heart, Steve. I like that you follow me on the Twitters.
I do.
And you send me the messages about the DCs.
I do. And I enjoy the Twitters and following you on the Twitters.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're funny.
Oh, look at that, everybody. Game over, Greggy.
Game over, Greggy.
Just hit 10,000 followers. How about that?
Slide that in.
Jesus. I know.
I'm at level up time, so follow that shit.
Dame Zero.
Oh, yeah.
I'll twit you up right now.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll Twitterify you on the horn.
So Greg and I, we're probably the biggest Dead Space fans here at IGN.
Probably.
We like the game a lot. So you have some talking points, Greg.
Turn off the show, everybody.
Don't turn off the show.
This was your last chance. That was their last chance
to
get out.
Yeah.
Get out
so lay a big spoiler on everyone right now.
Isaac's a girl. Now, the thing for me was the needle in the eye. The needle in the eye bit.
That was really, really
blew
cool.
Blew my mind. Yeah, because like when he like that whole, the whole game is so well done. You know what I mean? It's hard not to gush about this single player when you're talking about it, because that Nicole stuff was so great. Like that whole internal losing his mind, him wandering through the ship, her there, when she goes from being evil to good, and then the good Nicole leading him all the way through till the ending, and especially the needle and eye bit. I was just so sucked in. And that's why, like, that ending for me was so, like, just a ramp up, right? You figure, as soon as I hit that, just that turning point where I think it's pretty much when you come in and see the marker going crazy, right? And all the necromorphs are gathered around it. And then you take off your helmet and you basically walk around for a little bit. That's when it was like I was locked into my chair and I wasn't going anywhere and nothing was going to stop me. And so the needle in the eye bit is just like, it was so gross.
Did it make you think of LASIK?
No, it made me think of, oh my god, this is
so
fucked up.
Did you screw it up on purpose to see what happened?
No, because I was, it was one of those.
I did screw it up the first time.
On purpose?
I did too.
Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You gotta.
My thing was that I screwed it up because I think I was like, I got it. I wasn't totally paying attention. I was so in that moment of, oh crap, this, I gotta do this right or I'm gonna kill him. His eyes jerking around. I wasn't paying attention to the heart rate monitor all that much. And so the first time through, I was more paying attention to distance. So I'm like, all right, if I just give it one good push, it's going to get there. It's mostly blue. Yeah, and then I did it, and no.
Did you try retracting the needle? Because, like, we put that in so you could, like, bring it down and move it up so you could, like, torment him.
Oh, really?
And make him freak out and not freak out.
No, I didn't.
Or did you – so you didn't do the intentional miss, which would have caused the skull-fucking animation where it just and just skull fucks the shit out of his head.
I didn't see that one, no.
It does happen.
Oh, okay.
Did you notice it was Noonlight Technologies that, you know, was the machine? Because that's one of the engineers, the little inside to Michael Noonan,
okay,
the guy that worked on it. So Noonlight Technologies. And if you fail, did you notice it came up with a nice little message that said, you know, in machine malfunction, please call an engineer.
Oh, nice.
Funny, because, you know.
He is an engineer.
Right,
there's a lot of that stuff that people won't see unless they make a mistake, right? Like the cool death animations and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things with the game, you know, and you guys did that really cool video of all the deaths, and you didn't put that one in, which was good.
We tried to. Melissa over here, stop me.
Yeah, no, no.
Hey, Melissa, introduce yourself. Who are you?
Who are you?
So as soon as Steve says something he's not supposed to say about Dead Space 3,
exactly.
Dead Space Retraction or whatever we call it.
This is the way it works.
Dead Space Retraction, is that a new thing I don't know about? I don't know about any of those.
Yeah, I'm totally. I'm spitballing ideas right now.
That's cool.
I got a lot of good ideas for a Game Gear version of Dead Space. So.
I'm making it in Minecraft. There you go. Or Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet would be.
Like people to have.
Yeah. Have you seen a new one? I have Little Big Planet 2, but it's been so crazy right now with other stuff. I haven't been able to jump on and see community stuff. But for Little Big Planet 1, one of my favorite ones was Little Big Dead Space. That was so amazing.
Some amazing stuff people have done, and it's just – it's super awesome to see that. I really want to check out LBP2.
Mm-hmm.
LBP2, yes.
That's
right. I want to check that out because the first one was really fun, and I'm hoping that the creation tools are more streamlined because it was pretty involved on the first one. I thought it was just going to be drop stuff in and shit was going to happen, and like, no.
No, you had to steady up. You have to steady up this time too, but it's a bit easier.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You mentioned the scene at the end of Dead Space 2 when all the necromorphs are gathered around the marker.
Yeah.
That reminded me of the end of Gremlins 2.
Totally.
Gremlins 2.
What? You remember it, right?
Yeah, wait,
they're trapped in Clamp Tower.
Yeah, exactly.
And they trick them into thinking it's nighttime out.
The electric gremlin kills all of them.
Well, now you spoiled it. You got ahead of yourself.
Yeah, only did you spoil Dead Space 2, but Gremlins 2.
No warning of the Dead Space.
That's
Gremlins
convergence.
2.
That's what we call that moment,
yeah.
Convergence, when all the necros are like, hey, right on, let's party down with the marker. And they're all kind of in that trance. And then Tideman's there yelling at Clark.
Yeah. I also, that was a good moment when you take Tideman down, too. That was also really cool.
Oh, that whole thing, I kept failing. I kept failing the very end when you walk towards the light and you get shot with the spear gun.
Oh, yeah.
I failed it like 4 times. I'm like, what am I missing? And like, finally, I was like, oh, I'm just tapping too goddamn slow.
But yeah, no. You got to tap because, you know, you're about to die. You got a big thing in your hand. What do you guys think about, just if I could ask a question?
Yeah, no, please.
What did you guys think of the moment when, you know, Isaac slumps down? And then the credits rolled. Did you think the game was over? Did you like go?
I thought there must be something else. I mean, I
knew it was.
I waited. You know, I thought there has to be something else that's going to happen.
Yeah. My thing was, it'd be really cool if they left it here, but I bet something else happens.
And then you got the Halo jump and you controlled that. And
yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then he has the moment in the cockpit at the end when you kind of think something's going to happen again, and he turns to see what's her name?
Ellie.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, what? Cut to black. Which I assume is a reference to the end of the first game.
You got it. That's right.
Also, what a hardcore bitch Ellie is, huh?
Yeah,
gets
right?
Gets her eye ripped out. And you're just like, whatever. I'm still going to fuck up Strauss.
But we all know that girls with eye patches are hot.
Totally.
So now she's even hotter.
That was exactly
was.
What we thought.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what? You throw an eye patch on somebody.
Perfect.
Mega charisma.
Exactly.
Bam, straight through the roof.
When she gets the cool black big boss one coming up soon.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of pushed for the pirate style, but yeah, you know, right. Ian was like, what are you talking about? Our art director didn't want any of that.
Mm. Do you guys like try? Do you sit around and try to like what's the most fucked up thing we can come up with to put in the game? Like,
yeah, I mean, we talk about, you know, all kinds of fucked up shit. Like, but at the end of the day, we won't just take something crazy fucked up and just put it in. It has to have relevance to the universe and what we're trying to do. So, for instance, you know, if somebody was like, hey, you know, it'd be awesome if that necromorph could pick you up and just, you know, slam a fist through your ass. Well, you know, yeah, that would be awesome.
Crickets in the boardroom.
but, you know, maybe we didn't do it because it just didn't make sense because, well, it has a claw. How's it going to pick you up and do that? Or, yeah. You know, something like that. But yeah, we definitely don't shy away from crazy ideas. Actually, we encourage that. The whole team collaborates on the game. Like everybody has ideas, and we're very we like to cultivate that and encourage that. So, but yeah, it all comes down to what the story is. We don't just like randomly go, we're gonna shock people with this. You know, like the whole eye poke thing, that had relevance, right? If you played, you know, the game and you got to that point, you should understand, well, at the very beginning, in that, you know, in chapter one, when you see that little log on the monitor,
yeah.
Strauss is talking about, don't make me go in the machine, don't, you know,
the eye looks much better today.
Yeah, that's the eye time, looks yeah. much better today. And like,
see, that was stuff I overlooked. Like, on my first playthrough, I was like, oh, okay, I didn't get it. I thought maybe I got punched in the eye or I got beat up. And then, yeah, when I got there, I'd already forgotten that part, and then I played it again. There were so many references like that.
Yeah, and that's what I really liked about, you know, Greg, about your review was that, well, first of all, you like the game, which is great.
That's
so
usually,
I love that part.
It's usually helpful.
And, you know, slide another point on there and I'd like it more. But the fact that you finished the game and then you jump back into the game, because to your point, like people, I've seen other comments about, oh, I didn't know what happened here. And it's like, well, you just probably didn't remember. Because,
yeah.
You know, it's not a movie. It's a 12, you know, plus hour game for some people. So it's easy to think I'm going to forget something that happened in the first 30 minutes. But what was great is you went back, you played it through again, you got to play with all the weapons, you got to, you know, kind of see some of those inside little comments that
yeah.
really build towards the end. So
I mean, you figure the whole, from pretty much as soon as you meet him, right, Strauss is talking about the steps. And I had no idea. When he's saying that, you have no idea. And then at the very end, you know, there's the steps with Nicole and the machine and everything. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Sense.
Yeah, see, yeah. So I thought that was great.
Is there a giant internal wiki or timeline or something you all go to reference this? Because the franchise has gotten, I mean, so much bigger than, you know, most games you have to tackle. Most people, you know, they have their games or sequels and they're done. Whereas you have Downfall and you have comics and you have movies and you have this. And, like, I reviewed Aftermath for Blu-ray over here at IGN 2, and I went back and watched that. And, oh, there's Strauss. And, hey, look, he's not batshit crazy yet. And he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I get to see what happened with his family. And that was all really cool. But it's like, Jesus Christ, man. How many wheels do you guys have turning to try to keep everything straight?
Yeah, so fortunately we've got some incredibly talented people all over the team, and the folks that kind of are what I like to call the lore keepers. You know, we've got Ben Wannett and Chuck Beaver who have been kind of focused on that stuff.
Chuck Beaver, friend of Podcast Beyond.
Yes.
He was on there a long time ago when this Dead Space game was coming out, and Jeff Haynes was like, Dead Space is going to be cool. We're like, whatever. Sure, bring in this Chuck Beaver guy.
Yeah,
he was cool.
Yeah, Chuck is cool. Big comic fan also. He, you know, those guys kind of are focused on, you know, the story elements, but at the same time, it's just too much for them, to your
yeah.
point. So what we do have, like, extensive documentation of all the different threads and all the different storylines. I mean, that was part of the thing with the original game. When we were developing it, we were like, okay, well, we have to have you know, this marker. What is this marker thing? Well, you know, some people might just say, well, it's a marker. Who cares? It just does things and put it in there. But we really wanted to be able to explain it when people asked, like, well, where did it come from? And so because we had the approach of let's define everything in the universe, we created this massive timeline of events. Like, when did Unitology start? Who's Altman? You know, where do Necros come from? All these questions. And we had to answer these questions before we, you know, wrote the story for Dead Space 1, that just set us up to be able to do all this other stuff. Because at the end, we're like, well, shit, we did all this work. What do we do with it? Like, we can't put it in a game because a lot of it, you don't, you know, it wouldn't be fun to experience those stories necessarily in an interactive way. You want that more of a straight narrative in a comic, in an animated feature, or a novel. So it really was just incredibly useful for us as a team to define all that backstory. And now it gives us a great opportunity to go, well, cool, there's this little segment in between two and, you know, Dead Space 1 and Dead Space 2. Why don't we do this in a comic? You know, let's do Salvage. Let's do Aftermath. And so it's been really helpful. And, you know, we definitely have people just dedicated to trying to keep all of it organized, because what we don't want to do is invalidate something we've said in a previous, you know, comic or one of the games or animated feature or whatever we're doing. So, yeah.
Cool. The creatures in Dead Space are known as necromorphs. But I was wondering, is that how people in the Dead Space universe talk about them? Do they consider them necromorphs, or is that just what we call them?
Well, so people in the Dead Space universe don't really know what necromorphs are. The only person that's ever seen one and survived is really Isaac, right? Because everybody else gets greased in Dead Space 1, right? Like nobody survives. Now, there's some camera footage and stuff like that, you know, that was probably on the Ishimura that, you know, the government, when they kind of took the ship, probably got to see, but...
Extraction survivors would know, right? And they're coming back, and you guys just announced some DLC.
Severed.
Severed?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, there is Severed. And
it's
that,
weird.
And that
we know nothing about it other than that.
But. We're pretty excited about that. So there's very few people that have seen them, and, you know, those people may know the name Necromorph, but that's just kind of like, you know, using kind of the Greek term necro, you know, morph. So, so I guess that's what they would call them. I think they generally call them creatures or aliens. You'll hear people call them that in the games. But
I'd like to see more sexromorphs in Dead Space.
Sexromorphs?
Yeah.
What do they do? What do they do? What's their power?
You talked about a fist in the ass. Like,
right.
That's,
you think they would
that's
do that?
That's when that would make sense.
They would fist people.
Yeah.
The sexromorphs.
Yeah,
wouldn't they just be necromorphs? Though, like what?
No, but these ones are only going after your sexual orifices.
your sexual orifices.
They only want to do that. Okay, well, we'll throw
it's
it.
It's like I was playing through Extraction yesterday on PS3, and out in space, right before spoilers on Extraction, you get your arm, you know, ripped off, or you got to cut off your own arm. You fight that one guy, and he's got a vagina mouth coming at you, and you got to shoot the herpes out at the inside of him. I mean, there's a lot of imagery going on about your college days.
Yeah, we called that guy Count Sacula when we were developing him, and he did have kind of both genitalia. Because he had the weird kind of tentacly thing that opens up and then you go inside.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, pretty gross. You get sucked inside and have to shoot off the polyps inside of the walls of the vajayjay.
What else, Greg?
What else indeed about the Dead Space? Well,
you want more listener questions? Want to go to some listener questions too?
Yeah, sure. Listener questions.
What do I got?
Douglas Nash says, after playing both Dead Space 1 and Dead Space 2, there seems to be no line that Visceral won't cross in terms of disturbing imagery. I'm referring to the baby and child necromorphs. That was a really good moment for me when you get to the nursery and you look through the window and this girl's like trying to cuddle with this baby necromorph.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucked up.
She's off a rocker.
I know. So Douglas asks, has there ever been a debate at Visceral about what lines you're willing to cross and aren't willing to cross?
No. So Douglas, there certainly has not been. You know, really want to push the boundaries. You're right, and we want to do whatever makes sense for a story. So there's no like we're never going to do this or we couldn't possibly do that mentality. But at the same time, we aren't just trying to just ram stuff in there just to be gross. I mean, we're trying to make sure that it resonates. It's somewhat relatable because we find that is what makes things disturbing. Because like if it's possible, like for instance the eye poke, I mean, you know, what if you were in some kind of crazy dentist office and they were doing that? I mean, that would be scary, and some people would probably have a fear and aversion to that kind of situation. So we really look for things like that that are, you know, relatable to what we see in our, you know, in our world.
So is it a chicken and an egg kind of thing? Like, you know, the babies and the children and stuff I thought were great additions to Dead Space 2. And as soon as I played through that section and realized how fucked up it was to be killing these kids, I thought back to Dead Space 1 and how I didn't miss that. I wasn't ever thinking, oh man, where are all the kids? Because I was on a, you know, I was on a planet cracker. There's not going to be children. Whereas this time it was like, well, now I'm on a space station. There's a real life going on here. There's an eco-culture. For you guys, was it, I want to change up enemies, so let's put it here? Or was it, I want to put it on a space station this time, so we're going to have different environments and different enemies?
Yeah, it was definitely the latter. We definitely you know, that was one of the big things with the move to the sprawl. Just like you said, you know, there's all kinds of people there. There's little kids going to school. There's nurseries. There's all these things. So, yeah, we definitely, you know, everything we're trying to do in our games comes from kind of the story and the setting. We don't say like, hey, you know what? We're going to have flying giraffes. We're putting those in. Get those in right now. No, we don't do that. It's like, well, what's the story? What's the reason? What's the setting? Why would these things be there? Is there a, you know, some sort of ecosystem that's required to support this concept? You know, all those questions get asked. And if they, you know, meet with pass that test, then we put it in.
Can animals be turned into necromorphs?
Sure, why not? Why wouldn't they?
Well, that's what I was wondering. But we haven't seen those yet, right?
I mean, you could venture to say maybe the stalkers or some sort of partial canine, maybe.
There were velociraptors on...
Just throwing that out there. Could be.
Remember those little birds, the parakeets and stuff, they were fine. Dead Space 2, when you go through that one guy's office who got the bitch of an AI.
You know, if an infector kind of...
Yeah, probably not. Not much room for error there.
Yeah, it's probably squish them.
The beginning of Dead Space 2 is a lot more intense than the beginning of Dead Space 1. What was that? Why was that decision made? Were you just like, we want to switch it up from the first game? Survival horror games tend to start out kind of slow, you know, being quiet and spooky. But Dead Space 2 is hardcore right from the opening moment.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of reasons why we did that. One, it just made sense from the story perspective. Like, you know, what would, you know, the idea is Isaac's been locked down. He's been put in and out of stasis. Like, there's not a lot. I mean, what are we going to do? Just have you in a tube? The first 30 minutes, you're in a tube.
You can wiggle your big toe.
Move your eyes to the left and right. Awesome. No, so we didn't, you know, we wouldn't do that. And so the whole idea of, you know, Franco showing up and rescuing him, which for those that played Ignition would know that's the protagonist from Ignition. So there's a whole tie in there. Like, that's the character that you experience when you're playing the mini games in Ignition. It's Franco, and then getting there and seeing him, and then having him get, you know, greased.
Yeah, he didn't make it very long.
He didn't really last.
Which was great.
Yeah. It was an awesome
Which
moment.
Incidentally was modeled after Rich Briggs, one of the producers on the game.
Okay. I'm sure he likes seeing himself get killed every 5 seconds.
Yeah, that was great, actually. He really didn't like it. He was, you know, he would blush and stuff. Yeah, I mean, it just made sense for the story. And also, in terms of games, it is fun to kind of stumble around and be creeped out and think, where do I need to do, or, you know, kind of have that slow burn that you're talking about. But I think with Dead Space, it was really critical that we kind of start with a bang and just kind of show people, hey, this is what you're kind of getting into with the game. And I think, you know, starting out on that big, you know, kind of epic sequence just kind of sets the tone for what people are going to expect. And then hopefully that just draws them into the game. Because it's just like, you know, you got to go, you got to run, you got to get away from these guys. And, you know, hopefully it gets your heart rate up. And the transformation was just something I was super stoked on, because I, you know, was a huge fan of American Werewolf in London, which is like one of the best, still, I think, one of the better transformation sequences ever. So it was just cool to like get the team to kind of work on something like that.
Yeah, see a necromorph born before your eyes.
Yeah, so that was the other reason.
This is Marcel from Toronto. Says, do you have any tips or strategies for hardcore mode, such as what weapons to use, what chapters to save at, etc.?
I do, Marcel. I do. My particular style when attempting hardcore mode is...
Have you ever done it? Have you ever passed it?
I've definitely played it, but in development, we get builds so often, it's difficult to kind of you know, stay on a... Like, you want to be looking at the next build, make sure it's not broken. So I haven't gone from beginning to end. There's people on the team that have, and clearly the testers have, but as, you know... Executive producer, I need to look at the current stuff every day.
I understand. I'm just looking for tips. I want this platinum trophy.
I can tell you how to do it, though. And I did defeat Zealot already. Like, that was the first thing I did when I got my final copy. I just powered through Zealot. No problem, by the way.
You did that straight up, not even plus one?
Oh, no. God, no.
I did
no
plus
need.
One.
No need right here. Come on. Greg.
You're hardcore.
That's right. So, hardcore, I would say, Marcel, focus on your rig upgrades, specifically your health and stasis. So just pump all the nodes you get into those, and then always keep a node around for the power node door rooms, because you can find those actually fluctuate. It's not always the same drop in those rooms. So, you know, you might hit the jackpot and get a node and cash and ammunition or a health pack. So I really focus personally on, you know, health and stasis. And then weapons, I don't worry about those upgrades till I've maxed out those other two things. Because, you know, if you can stasis dudes, you got a great opportunity to beat them. So as soon as, like, for instance, the Leaper shows up, who's really dangerous and in Dead Space 2. I just will stasis those guys immediately, take them out super fast, strategically dismember the shit out of them, and then move on. In terms of my favorite weapons, upgraded or not, I tend to use the Ripper. And for later in the game, the contact beam, it's really good at the very end of the game. You know, I really like the Javelin gun. If you do manage to max it out, you can kill guys in one shot, which is, and it just looks freaking rad. And then I also enjoy me some Plasma Cutter, and sometimes I'll play around with the Force gun and sub that in. Oh, if I don't go Plasma Cutter, I'll throw the Pulse Rifle in, because you need something with quick fire for the pack.
Yeah.
So I usually go with that.
When I was playing through Dead Space 2, I was buying every new gun that became available, but I think about halfway through, I realized the best way is just to like focus on four guns that you like and upgrade them.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think that's the smarter way. Yeah. Now, with the addition of the respec that we put in, you can experiment a lot more. So you can take a weapon out, check it out, throw all your nodes into that, see if you like it, switch out, you know, for a small number of credits, you can switch that around. But yeah, I tend to like, I pick my four and kind of roll with that because, you know, from an RPG perspective, you don't want to go too wide. You want to kind of, you know, min-max something. That's what I tend to do as well. But definitely hardcore mode, get that health up and get your stasis up.
Where do you save? Where do you use these three saves?
Well, Greg, that's kind of a secret. No, I generally will try really hard to get to the church.
Okay.
And try to get a save in there. Right before, right before you go into the processing plant where you have the Stalker fight in, I guess it's chapter 9.
With all the giant boxes in front of you.
Try to save in there. And then, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot after that.
Right.
I think it's just try to go as far as you can into 10, but, you know, it's kind of risky. Another one that guys tend to do is in right before the drill ride, there's a save. Mm-hmm. So doing that, and that's just, that's pretty hardcore because if you F up at that point, you're all the way back. So yeah, those are the saves, but definitely trying to get to the church is a good way to go, I think, for the first save at least.
Okay. Have you attempted this at all yet, Greg?
I started to play just to see how hardcore it was and see how I felt power-wise because I'd done my Zealot run on +1, so that felt, you know, normal. That wasn't crazy. So yeah, I jumped in. I need to dedicate a weekend to it. I want to have a Saturday or Sunday where I can just sit there and play and go. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to try soon to do that.
So, you know, let me ask you guys a question. You dudes. So one of the things that from the first game that we saw, there was a lot of like people saying, "Oh, that game's so easy, impossible."
Actually,
that
I think
shit.
they sound like what? What's their actual voice, Greg?
Dear Dead Space, your game is so easy. I beat it with my baby controllers.
Yeah, I mean something like that. That was kind of the voice.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that. So one of the things this time was like, okay, haha, you think so? We're gonna make sure that this is a lot harder and give people the challenge that they want. Now, the contentious part that I'm reading now on the internet is some people, you know, the people that think, oh, I should be able to get every achievement because I should. Are mad because they think hardcore mode is hard. Wah! That's what I have to say. Call the wambulance, okay? That's all I got to say. Because these guys were complaining a lot about how easy it was. Now, there's an actual challenge with hardcore mode, and they don't like it because there's an achievement? Like, I don't know. What's your take on achievements? Like, for me, I think they're achievements. Like, it's hard to get them. It's not like entitlements. Should we change the name to entitlements?
Well, there's that. I had never thought of it this way, but maybe some people think, well, I paid money for this game. I want these achievements, you know? Maybe that's
their mindset.
Yeah, but
then they should be called entitlements.
Sure.
Maybe. Shouldn't be called achievements.
Yeah. Yeah, I love trophies. I'm a huge trophy whore. And, like, so I'm way further on trophy. I'm, you know, I'm one trophy away technically right now on Dead Space 2 in its hardcore. And I like that. Like, I'm fine. If I turn it down and I can't put in much time or I can't do it or I just get annoyed with it, I'll walk away because I don't feel like every game I get I should get a platinum trophy in it. I get these games and I know that they are way too tough or they're an investment I don't want to make or I don't have fun replaying it like that. So I'm fine with it. I enjoyed that you in particular, on Twitter asked a few months ago now, how do you guys feel about multiplayer trophies and achievements? And people, I guess, responded enough to where you guys were like, okay, cool, no multiplayer trophies.
We didn't put those in because, you know, like, people didn't want those. But, again, going back to, like, the feedback we got from the first game, you know, all the people were just saying, it's so easy. It was like, well, let's put something in really challenging. And for those guys that really are hardcore, they can have that achievement.
Yeah.
Sorry to kind of put you guys on the spot, but I just, you know.
We've been quizzing you all. Where would you save in your game? Yeah. Off the top of my head, I would say.
Well, it's just mostly, you know, because I really do care what what the players think, and I just want to make sure that everybody understands the difference between an achievement and an entitlement. So it's an achievement. Like, you did it. You should feel good. You can brag about it. There's an awesome thing you get for doing it, too, by the way, which you don't have yet.
I know.
Which is incredibly awesome. And, you know, I just remember back in the day when I'd play, like, Resident Evil 1. And then they had crazy shit. Like, you got to finish this in, like, what was it, an hour or 2 hours or something, the entire game to get the rocket launcher. And, you know, that was hard. That wasn't like you bought the game, you put it in, you hit the I win button. So I don't know. I personally think that it's a challenge for people, and I hope they see it that way and they don't feel like, you know, they're being gypped because they don't get their entitlement.
Have you ever thought about doing speedrun stuff? I know I was talking to Hillary, right, and we were he was supposed to be on the show, but of course got too busy. And
he's too good for us?
He's too good for Melissa, he said, in particular. I know, right?
What are you doing? Hey, Melissa, what's going on the BlackBerry over there? Okay, and awesome.
She's writing everything we're saying here. And bouncing
she's
off
running
Gino
by
EA.
She's taking
home base.
Hey, what's
the
going
Wambulance.
On here?
Am I in trouble for the Wambulance? Okay, cool. Sorry.
What no, about you're fine. No. Well, we're talking about what we, in the future versions of Dead Space, what we think would be a cool way to do multiplayer and have it engage in the same single player way, right? And what he pitched to me and I thought was cool was doing it where you could have, like, single player, you know, at the end of the game it said, all right, you beat it in this amount of time, and then it uploads that. Kind of like Mega Man. You know, like when you play a Mega Man game nowadays, it'll put your speedrun time or whatever up on a leaderboard. Have you ever thought about doing something like that?
That stuff's awesome. We've talked about all kinds of stuff similar to that.
Yeah.
It's just all, you know, our philosophy on the dev team is, like, if we're going to do something, we have to do it at AAA quality and knock it out of the park. And what tends to happen is we get, like, tons of cool ideas like that. And then as we're going through development, we're like, ooh, we can't do all this stuff. And so we kind of have to start, you know, we narrow down the scope of what we're trying to do. So stuff like that is awesome. And I think, you know, it would be awesome to have in the game.
Cool.
Marcel actually has a couple other questions. Is there going to be any DLC aside from Severed that we can expect?
Well, right now, Marcel, we're only talking about Severed, and we just announced it, so that's all we're saying for today.
That's a very PR response.
It has to happen.
Yeah,
Melissa is sitting right there.
She's giggling, too.
She doesn't like me to not...
Severed coming soon, correct?
Severed
that's all
coming
we've
soon.
Said so far.
That's okay. Right, coming soon.
And I'm sorry, is there a price announced for Severed? I don't remember.
$8 trillion.
$8 trillion. Well, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, you know. I mean, there's inflation, and we're doing it in credits, so... You know, future monies.
Phil Miller wants to know, will there be DLC for PC gamers?
Phil Miller, no, there will not be. I'm very sorry. There is not DLC planned for PC.
Phil, PC gaming is dead.
I did not say that.
No, you didn't have to. We read between lines.
I said that.
I did not say that. As a matter of fact, PC is awesome. And,
no, you don't have to lie.
You know, well, the honest truth was we started working on the PC and, you know, people really wanted it. So we started making it and we just don't have that for this particular game.
PC, it does look awesome. Like
PC, I mean, looks phenomenal. I mean, have you guys seen it? It looks sick.
I haven't seen it.
Oh yeah, I reviewed it. Yeah, like there's definitely. I mean, I think the game looks great already on PS3 and 360. But like, there's stuff like when I put on the suit for the first time and walked into the first dark area, and the light shone out onto the wall, but it came out through my visor and it had like the breaks. I was like, oh, that's really cool.
PC is very cool, and we put a lot of effort into just making sure the controls felt way better than the last game. So, you know, like I said, I mean, if we can't do something at a very high quality level, we're not going to do it. And we put a lot of effort into getting the PC done, and that's where the PC is.
Jeremiah Benson asks, can you please make a hoodie that has the health bar and stasis bar? I assume he means on the back.
Me personally? Jeremiah, I'm not...
Go to CafePress.com.
I am not a tailor. Actually, you know what? I'm actually wearing a T-shirt that has a rig on the back right now today. You can't see it, but it's a rig.
It's
nothing
an incognito
on the front,
shirt, too. Yeah,
nothing
exactly.
Nothing on the front, so people don't know. But if you're inside and you're cool and you love Dead Space, you can see on the back that I have very low health right now. In terms of the hoodie, that's something we've definitely been talking about. So stay tuned. Keep your eye on the Visceral store, and you may just get
there you go.
Like.
See, yeah, these BioWare fools, they're running circles around that Visceral store. They got lithographs,
BioWare.
Shirts.
And, I love BioWare. Oh,
I know,
my God.
I buy all that crap, too.
Jonesing for Mass Effect 3 and Dragon Age 2. Can't wait. Cannot wait. And Sir Isaac of Clark.
I got the Sir Isaac armor in Dragon Age 2.
Love it. Love it.
Patrick Oakes asks, will the extraction bonus game always be included with Dead Space 2 on PS3 or only in the first run limited editions?
Patrick, you answered your own question. Limited edition will include extraction. The collector's edition on PS3 includes extraction. After those pressings are gone, None of the SOL. Other discs will have it.
But so. It went up on PSN, or goes up on PSN.
Yeah, you could buy it on PSN.
It's available on PSN now.
Correct.
Standalone.
Correct.
But so, if you get your act together and buy it now, you get it for free.
It's limited.
Exactly.
Limited for a edition.
Dylan Patillo writes in my favorite question.
Portillo?
Patillo.
Portillo?
Patillo. He writes in my favorite question. Now, this is a tough one. I hope you're
put
prepared
your
to
on.
Answer. Be real
it.
Here.
Bring it.
He wants to know, what is on the second disc?
What is on the second disc? Nothing at all. We just wanted to irritate people and make them get up and put it in. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's you know, the game is huge, first of all. And trust me when I say this, going to two discs is, you know, it's expensive for us to put the game on two discs. Mm. So we've got a lot of textures and a lot of geometry and audio that's on there. So it's just, it was a necessity. It wasn't like we were like, we're going to make two discs. I mean, the PlayStation 3 has the benefit of, you know, larger storage media and you don't have two discs. So yeah, there's stuff on there.
And you get a free game.
And you get a free game on the PS3. That is true. It's pretty cool.
Adam Sherman asks, do you think a romance between Isaac and Ellie might be in the question after the end of Dead Space 2?
Might happen. Like they might get it on.
That's what he's asking.
Get together.
It's a long trip home.
You never know. It's true. I mean, they're going to be in that ship together. They got to get along because what would you do?
Yeah.
You're just like, ugh, it's one eye. Turn off. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Who knows where things are going to go? Like right now.
I do. I think this, they're going to get together. We're going to open up in
Dead Space. Going to get together.
Of course, there is no Dead Space 3, so don't read into this. There's no confirmed anything, obviously. They won't even talk talk about past Severance.
This is Greg.
Damn it, speculating.
That there's going to be Dead Space 3.
Well, there you go. That's how new it is. Greg doesn't even know what it's called. Anyways, I think they will be together. Dead Space 3 will be a few years later, and they are like this cool renegade tag team that flies in and destroys these markers. Because there's like a dozen of them, right? That we know of. What do you mean shrugging? This is a spoiler cast. He mentions it after the credits.
Yeah, what does he say at the end of the credits? He says, he says a specific number, doesn't he? You're not going to help us out
here.
You mean
the secret message that people only hear if they wait through the entire credits?
Which are very long, by the way.
We've ruined everything.
Everything's ruined. Hey, iPokes, everything's on the table. Yeah, there's some things out there in space, for sure.
And then there's multiple overseers, right?
Yes.
All right, cool. Because the you know, in Extraction, Hardin, or was that his name? Sorry. He was Harkins?
No,
Warden? Somebody?
No.
Whatever. The fat unitologist dude who was a total jerk to everybody. And anyway, let the doctor get ripped away. He was an overseer, it turned out.
Yes.
And then he got killed. And then in Aftermath,
Eckhart.
There's an overseer. Thank you.
Eckhart.
There you go. Aftermath, there's
an
overseer there. It was Aaron Eckhart's great grandson.
Eckhart was awesome.
Yeah.
What did you think of the dialogue in Extraction?
Great.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I
story's great
in Extraction.
The characters
were cool. I loved me some Weller. Man up, sweetheart. My favorite line in the game.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing them come back. Sorry.
Adam has another question. Is there any way that a necromorph could regain its humanity?
God, I hope not.
Wow, that's insane.
Kill me, please.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, it's the future. They could maybe find something, but I don't know.
I think it's like zombies, right? And like not even zombies like the ones who get bitten and stuff like in Undead Nightmare, because those zombies reverted back if they weren't killed. These are corpses that are being reanimated by the Flying Stingray. So they're not...
The infector. The Flying Stingray is pretty good, though.
Yeah, that's what I call them. Yeah, so I don't think you can come back.
Yeah, I mean, it's dead.
You don't come
back.
It's
necrotic. Like, you'd have to, like, regenerate all of its skin and all of, you know, many
of
its
organs.
Yeah,
look at Franco in the beginning of the game. His face splits open, worms shooting out of it.
It'd be a stretch, but I mean, I guess it's... You know, it's the future. Anything could happen. No plans. No, don't know.
So does the necromorph outbreak begin with the infectors? What comes first?
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to have infectors.
Right, but so where do they come from,
though? Yeah, the marker pulses, right?
Right.
And starts driving everybody crazy. And then they kill each other? Yeah, I don't know where. Yeah. What is the first? Okay.
Correct. So you basically get that... that pulse that you're talking about that causes all the dementia, and they start going crazy, and then the flying stingrays are generated by the marker, and then those form, because they don't, you know, they're not really very humanly. So they get formed, and then they go around and do their business.
And because no one knows about necromorphs, that's why the unitologists still think this is a good idea. Like they haven't. Like...
Yeah, well, no, they, you know, their whole deal is like. You know, they think death is like cleansing.
All
they think, you know, they're going to ascend when
convergence,
they die.
Convergence, we're all going to become something
it's gonna
different.
It's going to be good when we die. Yeah, we're better than living, you know. craziness, but that's kind of what they think. So they don't, you know, it's like it's a harbinger.
Gotcha.
Take me. I want to ascend.
Okay.
So they're a little loony.
You have something to say?
Yeah. When you get this store up and running, the next thing I want to see too is an Altman Be Praised shirt, and then on the back have the hand gesture for the market.
What do you mean store up and running? The store is up and running.
You know what I mean? When you're
the store's
on these,
going.
The readers are giving you hoodie ideas. I'm giving you t-shirt
just
ideas.
Just beam in right now. We got a shirt just like you described.
No, you do not.
It says Altman Be Praised? We don't have internet access.
There's no,
what do you mean? What? I thought there's some high-tech facility in San Francisco.
You really thought wrong. Are you even getting 3G down here? I don't know.
I did. I got a text message with something we're going to use later on the show, I think.
Ooh. Good.
All right.
This is Jamal McKenzie. Does Dead Space 2 have split-screen multiplayer?
Jamal, that's a negative Ghost Rider. Negative Ghost Rider.
Not too many split-screen multiplayer games anymore these days.
And just, you know, just to, so part of the reason is if we did have, you know, that, I mean, first of all, we'd have to have some sort of co-op mode, which the game doesn't have. But you're going to be rendering the game twice, and you're going to we'd have to degrade the overall visuals to pull that off. So that would be yucky in terms of the visual fidelity, and it would also be weird because we don't have co-op. So no, sorry, Jamal.
This is Talon Bray, which is a pretty good name.
Talon
is pretty good. Yeah,
wow, it's kind of hardcore. Cool.
He wants to know, will the Necromorphs eventually make their way to Earth?
Talon, I don't know, and that's definitely something that's out there in the ether. We never know. We don't know.
All right, here's my next question.
Okay,
this is hardcore nerd shit too. If you don't have a great answer, I totally get it.
Is this gonna be harder than Talon's question?
Yes, and I think, and I might have my own. I have my own idea of why this happens. Right, Extraction. They climb in the ship. They get out. They abandon the Ishimura. They know they're fucked. They get out of there, right? And they immediately say, "All right, we're going to the Sprawl. Let's go to the Sprawl." And Isaac, right? When Isaac bails out at the end of Aegis 7 there, and he gets up in the escape shuttle, and Nicole jumps at him. Whether she's really there or not, who knows? And he's flying off. They eventually say that they just found him floating in space, crazed. Is it because he didn't know the Sprawl was there, or did he just not want to go there because he doesn't trust anybody?
Broken. He was broken.
Okay.
You know, he was just devastated. Like,
okay.
Here's this, you know, thinks he's helping his girlfriend. Turns out he's not. Just, you know, slaughtered tons of these, you know, nasty necromorphs. He's in that ship. He's just like, this sucks. You know, he just, you know, gets that, you know, he's having the dementia, seeing her still. He's just broken. He's just kind of floating. He's good. Like, where should he go? Where would you go? Like, what are you gonna do?
Let's say too how great that is. God, I love that. Love the fact that he is so broken and so it's such an imprint from the first game. I hate that when sequels start up and they have no connection to the first one. Yeah, Nathan Drake kills 3,000 pirates on an island. He's fine. He got some gold with Sully and he's ready to go have some fun again. You know what I mean? Like Isaac's completely
he's not haunted by the thousands of people he's killed.
we're big on connective tissue in Dead Space. We want stuff to kind of connect, and I think again that just goes back to the relatability and kind of trying to play on the psychological tension and emotion that we hope, you know, players have for the games we make. By the way, I love Uncharted, and I love Uncharted.
Oh yeah, we love Uncharted too.
Fantastic, but
he kills a lot
you
of
see
motherfuckers.
What I'm saying, though,
a lot of pirates get whacked all over the place.
Jesse Sessler asks, were PlayStation Move controls ever considered for the full Dead Space 2 game?
Considered? Yeah, I mean, certainly considered, but, you know, again, just going back to kind of what I've been kind of saying the entire time, if we can't do something at a AAA quality level, we're not going to do it. And we had a lot of stuff to do when we were making Dead Space 2, so we put the effort around the Move into Extraction. And so, yeah.
Which plays really well.
Thank you.
If you haven't, like, you know, I've been very open about Move doesn't have a great game. This would be my favorite Move title so far. Mm. Like, it does feel really good. And
awesome.
It is a hardcore game. And not to mention, too, like, it's $15. This was a full-priced Wii game. You know, I mean, this is a real retail game that's come to the PlayStation Network now. It's a long experience, 10 chapters, and then the shooting galleries and stuff. So it's definitely fun.
It is definitely fun. I love it. Did you play co-op?
Yeah.
Did you have a friend play with the dual analog?
No, we both use the Move.
Okay.
I've played with the dual analog.
Yeah, so you can do all that. You know,
yeah.
It's like if a buddy – I mean, my favorite thing about Extraction is I could be playing the game. Melissa could come over, and she could jump right in without going back to the menu, doing anything. She could play for a little bit, and then when she wanted to maybe go cough like she's doing, she could go do
Excuse
that.
Excuse me, I need to go
she
cough.
She could hop out of the game, and I could keep going.
No,
so
totally.
Like that drop-in, drop-out element was something we really focused on when we were making that, because just wanted people to be able to experience that story together, because it, you know, it's this guided first-person experience that, you know, really feels like you're, you know, it's like an interactive movie almost. And that was just something that we wanted people to be able to experience with friends. So that's where we put our co-op effort.
Gotcha.
Nino Campos asks, what are some other projects you'll be working on, and will they be just as fantastically violent as Dead Space has been?
Well, can't say what we'll, what, you know, can't really answer that there, Nino. But I think Visceral is, you know, as a studio, is dedicated to making super kick-ass games. So it would hopefully be super kick-ass in terms of what it will be. Super I can't kick-ass. Say.
Mm-hmm. One more listener question here. This is from Kyle. It says, many people know Isaac Clarke's name is derived from Isaac Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke. But at the time of naming Isaac for Dead Space 1, what made the development team go with this name?
Well, we're just huge science fiction fans. I mean, people on the team read a lot of science fiction, watch a lot of science fiction movies, and it was just kind of like, you know, an homage to those great authors. And it was, you know, just kind of out of a love for kind of the genre. That's where that came from.
He also asked, does this apply to any other characters in the game? So I guess, do any other characters' names have relevance or...
There's some other little inside things like that. There's Howard Phillips in Dead Space 2. The guy...
old Nintendo president of America.
No, actually, it's not on him, actually. Howard Phillips' initials are HP, and that was kind of a throwback to HP Lovecraft. Mm. So there's, you know, we tend to kind of mix it up with the logs and things like that. And we either mix in guys and gals from the team or folks that that we really, really like.
Cool. Greg, anything else we want to cover before we give away some cool stuff?
No, we got I talked about the needle, right?
Oh, that was how we talked about that first.
Oh, really? All right, sorry. Yeah, then I think I'm good.
So,
what are we giving away to the listeners here?
Yeah, what is?
What
this?
Are we giving away? We talked about this briefly on the real.
Is your knee bothering
on
you
on the again? Real games? No, I'm just
can
stretching.
I okay. Win whatever it is?
No, you cannot. I think you already have it. You already have it. You like the Astro gaming headset?
Astro gaming headset?
Yeah, that's
love
right.
It. That's
yeah,
what we're giving away. Love
totally.
Those.
Yeah.
If you don't awesome. Listen to GameScoop, which is on every Friday.
What the hell's wrong with you?
It's on IGN.com. It's this with other people. and we talk about different games, not just one. Anywho, I talked about it there last time, right? When Dead Space 2 came out, I was playing in the office. And it was over Christmas break, so not many people were here. But my TV speakers really weren't giving me what I wanted out of it. And I dug up this Astro mix amp I had forever ago and never really used. So I plugged that in, put it in. The mix amp, of course, generates surround sound in your headphones. And I was using Astro gaming headphones as well. And it blew my mind. It was so good. I took it home. I would only play that way, you know, pitch black at midnight playing that way. You can hear the creaks and crawls. And whereas
creaks and the crawls?
Yeah, yeah. The scratches, you know. You got the necromorph babies running around.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I think that really brings out the essence of that game, how good the sound is, right? That, like, I would be, when I'd hear it on the screen, I would know to turn around and it would be something behind me, or I would know it's somewhere over in this direction. Whereas usually it would just be out of my speakers and I'd kind of be like, all right, that could be anywhere. I think I know where I'm going, but who knows. Anyways, I was such a fan of them. I made sure I went out. I got the wireless amp now, too, so I can sit there and play. I have an Astro A30s, which I swear by, with Beyond little tags on there. You can customize your tags. Anyways, the gist of this is we told Astro how much we liked them, and they were so happy about it that they agreed to give away a completely wireless Astro headset gaming system here. So you'll have the little wireless amp that you have your headphones plugged into, mm-hmm. and then you can walk around your house. You can listen to this stuff. It'll be great.
And the headphones are custom GameScoop.
They sure are. You're getting white headphones, which are very slick. And on top of that, you get white tags that say Scoop. So
that's
you go.
Very cool.
It's going to be
say
huge.
Scoop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about Dead Space 2?
No, this is GameScoop. Sorry.
Yeah. So
when you have us on Dead Space Presents, the GameScoop
hold
podcast.
On. This is the Dead Space 2 version.
Yes.
But I say, let's go one of each. Can we compromise?
If
you
sure.
had a Dead Space 2 one and a GameScoop.
Fine. They cost $20 to get them made, so you go ahead and get them made.
I believe the guys over at Astro have them.
Oh.
I have some of those right now.
All right, then. Nice. I will bug them there at Astro Gaming.
So to win these, we have a trivia question that Steve is going to ask. Is this going to be difficult? Is this going to be hard?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, I could go really obscure.
Hopefully it's not something they can just Google and find the answer for.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
Well, that's hard. You know? Everything's on the internet.
I know.
Yeah, the internet is... It's crazy.
I know.
The internet's.
Especially Dead Space 2.
So how's it going to work? Are they going to
Email us?
Are they going to call in?
No, they're going
to
email us.
Wherever you're listening to it right now, listeners, scream out the answer. And if we're near you, we'll come over
so
and say
how
congratulations.
Are you pick? So what if
we pick it at random? We do this on GameScoop pretty often. They email us gamescoop@ign.com and email us your answer for this trivia question. We'll pick a winner at random next week and announce on the show next week who the winner is.
So it's really going to just come down to random.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a bunch of people who are going to answer it right. And then
yes.
So
exactly.
It doesn't need to be extremely difficult.
That's true, yeah.
Ooh.
If you're listening to the Dead Space 2 podcast, I'm sure you are. They're going to be dialed in enough to know where to get an answer on the internet.
So. I would hope so, yeah. I mean,
except for the kid who didn't know what Disc 2 was.
What's on Disc 2?
What's on Disc 2? Nothing. Jeez.
Whatever you got. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be super hard. I still think you're going to be able to Google anything and find anything.
Well, okay.
I had questions about the Overseer. I Googled it.
So there is a character in one of the Dead Space games that appeared in the movie 300.
Hmm.
Who is his name? Or what is his name? And which game is he in?
Interesting.
And what happens to him?
Oh, okay. So this is a multi-part question.
Yeah.
All right, so a character in a Dead Space game that was in the movie 300. What is this person's name and what happened to them?
Right. So the actor that portrays this particular character was in 300.
Ah, I see.
Ah, okay. The voice actor.
Yes.
Okay.
And he looks like, like him. So when you see him, if you've seen that movie, you should be able to pick out who it is. But then I want to know what his name is.
The actor's name.
His first and last name. No, the character in the game. What's his first and last name?
Okay.
Okay. And what happened?
And what happened to him? All right.
How's
you
that?
Know the answer to this, Greg?
Yeah, I don't
know.
Isaac Clark.
Nope. Okay. So,
no
is that all right?
Yeah, that's okay. Good. So, email your answer to gamescoop@ign.com. And if you include your name and address in your email, that'll just make everything.
Yeah, do that.
And by the way, follow me on Twitter at Level Up Time because that's also part of winning. Just throwing that in.
Okay.
I'm just breaking the rules. Yeah.
Follow Astro Gaming at Astro Gaming.
Oh, hell yeah.
Follow me at Game Over Greggy. Follow Damon at Dame Zero. Mm-hmm. Follow IGN at IGN.
That's true.
Follow everything in the world. Because you know what? You just get so much information from the Twitters.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's great. And you get to see what people think.
Totally.
And I'm getting blown up right now by people on there. And I like it. I like to message them back and talk to them. So we didn't even talk about – can we keep talking? Or
of course.
Kicking
sure.
me
of course.
Out right now.
No, of course.
What did you guys think of the voice of Isaac?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
I liked it too.
It wasn't too overbearing. It wasn't like, this city, I'm the tough, gravelly.
But let me ask you this. Why didn't you get Nolan North to be Isaac?
Right. why wouldn't you?
We needed an everyman.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. He's incredibly talented. But
whenever I hear him in anything.
It's, now it's, it's Nolan North. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just, you know, he kind of is synonymous with Drake.
Yeah, I know. So I don't really want to hear him as anything else anymore. But
yeah, so that was.
I started playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and I was like, oh, God. Jesus.
Yeah.
The worst for me was Mafia, too, because he's just side characters in that.
Really?
So you'd be driving down the street, and they'd be like, and you like get on the sidewalk, and hey, asshole! I'm like, oh, why is Nathan Drake yelling at me on the street?
Yeah, we really tried to find people that hadn't been in games that, you know, knew unique voices to kind of keep our game very fresh and different.
Who plays Isaac this time around?
Gunnar Wright.
Okay.
Gunnar Wright. He's a,
name.
An actor. He was in G.I. Joe. I think he was a character in that. And he's a super nice guy, and I think he did a great job. And I was just interested what you guys thought, because I know there was a lot of controversies.
He's going to be talking about this time.
Your game was all tied up in controversy coming out. You figure you had the Isaac thing, which I do like, and I think he does a great job at, like I put it in the review, when he's talking to someone like Ellie or Strauss, to be that I'm in control, I know what's happening. And then when he's with Nicole internally, he's totally like, you know, on the floor, sitting there talking to them, broken down.
But he didn't talk too much, right?
Like I thought it was the right amount of
talking. I think for some reason people thought it was going to be like, you know, Drake, where he's just talking all the time. And like, I think people got the wrong idea that you'd be walking down a spooky corridor and he'd be talking to himself. And that's,
yeah.
You know, as you guys have played it, doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And that was intentional.
Maybe the only part that was over the top is when you'd be stomping. Because you have to stomp a lot now to get – you have to stomp. Motherfucker!
Well, that's the other guy. You don't have to stomp. That's the beauty of it. See, people don't know that. You could just TK a body and shoot it, and the thing will fall out.
Sure.
You can shoot it if you want to waste a clip of, you know, some ammo, or you can stomp.
Yeah.
Or you can melee. And I like to stomp.
Yeah, me too. Well, yeah, I like the
– Yeah, it makes awesome noises.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you say the F word.
Yeah, totally.
It's like the F word button.
Yeah.
But controversy. So first off, yeah, Isaac's talking. Secondly, there was we're going to have a lot of Modern Warfare action moments, and the internet basically fell off. The hamster fell off the internet wheel.
So I don't remember this controversy.
Oh, this was a big deal. Oh, they're changing Dead Space. Dear Dead Space, I can't believe you're changing. I want it to be scary.
Yeah.
I like those moments.
Totally. As soon as we heard it, remember, I used to say, well, you don't remember it at all, but I remember saying that I'm sure it's going to be fine. Don't freak out. Like, there was never, in my mind, the question of, oh, now it's not going to be scary at all. I'm never going to feel out of place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, that was crazy. when that happened. I think, like, you know, the Modern Warfare thing, I'm not sure how that got into the mix, but, you know, the idea was to just, you know, vary the pacing through, you know, some punctuation marks, which are these kind of more epic-y moments. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the beginning of the game, for instance, that's one, you know. You know, the eye poke you talked about, we consider that like an epic moment. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into that. I don't think that's, like, you know, out of line with what Dead Space is. And yeah, there were a lot of people worried about it. And, you know, that was challenging for us because we knew what we were doing. And, you know, we're not crazy. We're not going to get rid of horror. We're not going to get rid of the things that people enjoy. We were just trying to expand on what we did in the first game. And, you know, that was one of the areas where we felt we were kind of innovating within our, you know, our game, was adding those in and changing the pace and making people have a different experience, not always being on the edge of their seat, mixing it up.
Yeah. Like Halo Jump.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. And
decompression. Did you bring those in thinking they would replace, like, traditional boss battles? Because, like, you know, like in Dead Space 1, there's the giant anus boss spitting stuff at you, and it takes a while to beat him, whereas this one I felt like it was always a much more personal battle with whatever, whoever I was fighting. Like, was that your idea?
Yeah, no, it wasn't necessarily to replace, because we still have, you know, some boss battles in Dead Space 2.
Yeah, oh yeah, the brutes are really big, the elevator sequence, you have a whole bunch of guys to fight and stuff like that, and then obviously the very end.
Very end. But those were just – it was just more of just varying the pacing and just giving people – you know, keeping them on their toes, making it so that they didn't know what to expect, and hopefully pulling them through the game. You know, just like, what's the next big thing going to be? What am I going to get to see next? And kind of what you – I don't know. Like, when I was a kid, that was one of the joys I had of playing games, was when it, I wonder what the next level is going to look like. You know, like that feeling of wanting to see the next thing. And, like, that was kind of, you know, kind of our approach. Which, incidentally, let me ask you guys another question. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you some questions. What did you think of kind of the seamless transitions that we have?
I actually love that. From chapter to chapter, you mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the pacing – we talked about this on GameScoop last week. I really like the pacing of Dead Space 2. Awesome. There'll be a big moment, and then things will quiet down, and then just like chapter 7 will slowly fade up on the screen. I thought that was really well done.
That's great. Awesome, because that was the other thing where, you know, the last game just kind of – we had those very hard stops. You're at the tram. Yeah. Whew, I made it. Get on the tram. Loading screen. Next thing. We wanted to get rid of the loading stuff, and so, you know, that was kind of part of it. And we were hoping that just added to the immersion where you just kind of kept going. Mm. You know, like you're like, when should I stop? Well, you should stop when you're finished.
Totally, right. And when people started playing it on, like, you know, the debug test units and stuff, I would come in the next morning, like, how much you play last night? It's like, well, I was only going to play through chapter 2, but then I got, you know, I didn't know where chapter 2 actually ended or began, and I saved, and I was at chapter 3. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that'll happen. So it works, definitely, I think.
Cool.
Great.
Cool.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Steve. We obviously like the game a lot. And
yeah, thank you very much for supporting it. And, you know, I just want to say thanks to everybody that's playing it and that has supported Dead Space. And please continue to do that, because without the support of the players, we wouldn't have got the chance to make Dead Space 2. So if you ever want to see more Dead Space, get out there, get Dead Space 2, get your friends to buy Dead Space
just
2.
Buy multiple copies of it.
Buy Dead Space 2.
You want one in the seal, you know, sealed up. I don't know where I was
going. You want it MIB.
You want a collector's one.
Call it MIB.
MIP?
Yeah.
Mint.
You should know what this
is. I'm used to Mint on the Card, because I have a lot of Mint on the Card action figures at home in comic boxes.
Oh, is that Mick?
Yeah.
Mock.
Sure. Mint on Card.
On that note.
Never heard of that. So, and follow me at Twitter, at LevelUpTime, and let me know what you think of Dead Space 2, because we want to know. And if we ever get a chance to do more, it'd be great to know what people like and what they want to see improved and stuff.
But that's your chance to yell at him about the difficulty.
No, don't yell at me. No,
next time when he's like, was the last game too hard? Yes, it was too hard, Steve.
No, do not yell at me, because that's not very nice. I don't like being yelled at. So
you wouldn't like
polite questions, I'm always willing to answer.
You answer a lot of them. I see ats all the time on your
thing. I like that, but I don't like being yelled at, because there's no need for being rude. The internet is not a place for internet bullies.
Are you sure about that?
That's why you can block people.
You can do that. I don't like doing the block because I feel bad. It's kind of like going, talk to the hand.
No.
So you don't want to do that.
I call it the Phantom Zone, and then I kind of like it because then it's just, you know,
I'm throwing people in the
Phantom Zone like Superman. I'm great.
That's pretty mean. I like it, though.
Remember to email your trivia answers to gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you for joining us for this special Dead Space 2 podcast. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Greg. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out. Come get some. Beware, I live. IGN Gamescoop.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.